Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Go for it.
America, welcome to a very special emergency episode of Full of Sound and Fury podcast.
Sound the alarm!
I am your host, Cyrus Mortazavi of Kirkland, Washington. Follow me at risingproductions.com. With me, victorious yet again, on the West Coast, from Stanford, California, is Riyad Wahbi.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I did a lot of work for this game. I did my job. We needed one more, and I felt like, you know, they were a tough team. We played them hard. I watched very carefully. I got to tell you, this is a good one, man.
We are, of course, referring to Super Bowl 51, which ended less than an hour ago. We're recording afterwards just with a quick summation, and in my case, drying of tears. not really. I wasn't that invested in it. And I did expect the Patriots to win.
But not like that. Oh my God. Not like this.
All right, Rio. So you were actually pulling for the Patriots because you're a horrible person.
I am. That's true. I am
the worst kind. Take me through your evening.
Oh, it was terrible. Are you kidding me? Like, I started out watching the game, like, you know, monitoring progress. Okay, I'm going to, full disclosure, I am currently at the office. So I am the even worse kind of person. So yeah. So watching the game. Okay, it goes back and forth a little bit. No one's scoring. I say to myself, yeah, it's going to be a defensive game. I'm gonna settle in. We're gonna dig in and just watch it. It's gonna be fine. Falcons go down, score that touchdown. Oh, you know, it's okay. All right. Then there's this fumble. I mean, we're jumping quite a ways ahead, but man, the early part of the
game—not really. The first quarter was a defensive struggle, which I kind of thought it might be, at least for a little while. Yeah, I was telling everyone to take the under on that ridiculous, you know, over/under total for points.
Yeah, they said 57.5. I think was the number that ESPN was quoting.
Oh, I was hearing like 60 plus.
Oh wow. Okay. Well.
Or maybe 59. 59 is sticking in my mind for some reason.
Yeah, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe it was 59.5 or something. Maybe that's what it was. Or 59, whatever. Yeah. But on that order.
Of course, like, that's correct. I think I'm wrong.
60 points. But no. But I mean, either way, yeah, absolutely. They were saying it was going to be a, you know, 60 points total scored. That seemed a little high, right? Like normally you look at Patriots Super Bowls, it's like, you know, 17-14 or, you know, 21-17 or something. Not often these high scoring affairs. And you know, the Patriots had a pretty decent defense this year. Not as strong, probably not as strong as it looked by points, but, you know, a decent defense all year.
It was good. It was not great.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't as good as some of their best defenses have been, but it was, I mean, you know, the early Super Bowls, their defenses and special teams were amazing. But this one, not quite to that level, but still a decent defense. It didn't look like they were in a, I mean, certainly the 2007 Patriots managed to hold the score pretty low, and their defense was not very good, but, you know, so, okay, right. That seems
that's
crazy.
Alternative Fine. History.
Yeah.
Eli Manning had a hand in that.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. We started down a dark path that day, but anyway. Okay. Great. So fumble. Okay. This is not good. I don't like that. If in a defensive game,
but still not panicked. Counts. It sounds like
not panicked yet. I mean, 14-0. Okay. At the moment of the fumble, not panicked. 14-0. Not good. Patriots are driving. Pick six. Really not good. Now I'm like, okay, this game, this may just be over now. Yeah. So
that's kind of where I was in that moment also.
Yeah. I thought to myself, okay, this is just going to be a terrible Super Bowl. You know, it's going to be one of those duds that no one's going to enjoy. I can't remember the last Super Bowl that was really bad. Like, No, I'm sorry. Of course I can. The Seahawks versus the Broncos was just bad. It was just a beating. It was no fun. So I guess that one was it looked like we were on a path to something like that, where it was just a beatdown. Yeah. And what, the Patriots go in at halftime after, you know, sort of limply putting a field goal on the board. So it's 21-3 at halftime. Is that right?
That is exactly correct.
So, I mean, man, halftime was depressing. I kind of had the halftime show on, but not really. I was texting with a friend about the
how incredibly mundane it was.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't watch the whole thing, but man, it did not. It looked like super generic. Like, I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, it could have been better. Certainly, it could have been worse. We've seen worse ones, but like, it was not the Prince halftime show, which I thought was a quite good one. Rest in peace.
That was performed in a hurricane.
Also true.
Which, you know, given that it was Prince, is somehow somewhat appropriate.
Yeah. Man, we should.
I rocked through a storm.
I don't know if that would actually be a nice. I don't know if that would actually be a good podcast, but I like the concept of the best halftime shows of all time. I mean, could we give it to any except Wardrobe Malfunction? I mean, it wasn't a great halftime show, but it is in some sense the most memorable halftime show. So, anyhow, sorry. So we're done with the what the fuck was it called? Pepsi Sugar Free Halftime. Ugh.
I mean, sponsored even the name of it by is drones, terrible. Evidently.
Ugh. Yeah. So okay. So everything about this halftime show was okay. Fine. That's too much. It was just mundane, and the name was terrible. Fine. Falcons come out. They go 3-and-out. This is great. Look, the defense. The defensive play is gonna. We're gonna see some better defensive play. Things are gonna be good. Patriots are driving a little bit. No, have to punt. All right. Now the Falcons go down and they make it pretty easily. They make it 28-3.
Yeah.
Now I'm ready to turn the game off. Like, I have it up, but I'm not really watching it. I'm getting work done. I'm like kind of chatting with a friend, you know, okay, this sort of thing. Nothing is really happening here. The first sign. Okay, fine. So they put a little more, they put a few more points on the board, right? They score a touchdown. They miss the extra point. Now we're 28-9.
Of a strongly contested touchdown, still at that point.
Yeah. They did not. That was not an easy one.
Showed a lot more fight for three quarters than I think anyone anticipated.
Yeah, I kind of actually the part that I'm more surprised by is that they showed that. Is that they showed that much fight. Not that they fell apart in the end, but in the end, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I guess there was another field goal in there. So now it's 28-12, and now suddenly. Dante Hightower gets the strip sack.
No. Let me set this up for you. Matt Ryan enters into the fray.
Well, Matt Ryan somehow played well. Misses Matt Ryan a played well. No, Matt Ryan played well pretty much the whole game.
I could not disagree more.
Really? Oh, please.
I think it was the most spectacularly blah performance, and yet somehow dominant because there was so much talent around him. It just didn't matter.
I see. So you don't think Ryan is that good? You think that he just has a shitload of people around him, and now this year he's finally like looking good because of them?
Ryan is fine, but is kind of his ceiling.
Who's more and elite, Ryan or Joe Flacco? Oh,
God. But you know, you kind of made my argument there very succinctly. Those are those franchise quarterbacks where you're like, yeah. They're franchise quarterbacks, but you don't feel good about it.
Yeah,
they're in that B minus level of QB.
Yeah. This is like when you're an old fan of your team. There are certain eras of the team that you look back. I'm not an old fan yet, but I'm getting there. There are certain eras of the team you look back on, and you're like, oh my God, life was terrible. And then there are certain eras of the team where you look back and you're like, oh my God, we were amazing, right? And then there's the rest, where it's like, yeah, we had a quarterback. It's okay,
right? And you kind of remember his name, but not really. Like,
yeah, Matt Ryan.
Oh yeah, Mike Ryan. That guy was there. Yeah,
Matt Ryan is the Kyle Bowler of, you know. I mean, it's like, oh shit.
Oh, what's his name?
dude, this is terrible. But you know what? Never mind. I'm good. Yeah, we're good. We're good. So
that's great to hear.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so the low point is the 28-3.
Oh my God, it has to be, right?
But the Patriots are still showing fight. And for me, the turning point in my mind was when they went for that, and they fucked it up, but they went for the onside kick.
Yeah,
that was very Belichickian. That was a recognition. Okay, if we're going to pull this off, we're going to have to steal a possession, maybe two.
Yep. Exactly.
Whereas Atlanta took their foot off the gas pedal. They were not able to establish the run like they wanted to, and they started giving the ball back. And then, like I said, Matt Ryan enters the fray, somehow misses a Robert Blitz right in his face. And does the one thing he can't do at that point in the game, which is fumble deep in his own end zone, or his own territory.
Well, okay, but in fairness to them, with respect to the running, problems, you know, like
I lost you there for a second. Say again?
I, with respect to the running game, in fairness, they had some injury problems, and, you know, that doesn't help the team. So.
What injury?
Well, I mean, they had, what's his name, the running back. Didn't he roll up an ankle? I mean, the one that was playing.
Oh, yeah, but that's like their backup guy.
Right. Well, so even worse, right? They lose their backup guy. Their main dude was also out, wasn't he?
No, Freeman played the whole game.
Did he really? Okay. I guess
yeah, they just went conservative before they hit 30 points.
Interesting. Yeah, you're.
Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I think, the reason I had Atlanta, because I think I still think they're probably the better team, especially after what I saw tonight when they actually had a pass rush. But I ultimately went against them because of what I saw from the Panthers last year. They were not ready for. I was concerned rather they would not be ready for the moment.
You think?
And they never put the game away, and they had many opportunities to do so. And a lot of those opportunities were just Matt Ryan not taking a sack.
28-3 is kind of putting the game away, right? I mean, like, come on.
There was a quarter and a half left, man.
Okay, true. I'll give it to you. That's totally reasonable.
Okay, so the fumble happens.
The fumble. Okay, Dante Hightower, fumble. Holy shit! All right. Okay. Still down 16 points. Like ridiculously against, odds against kind of shit, right? They drive really, really quickly to get that touchdown. Like, damn, they weren't fucking around.
I was actually pretty sure they were going to win after that fumble. That's how catastrophic I thought it was.
Oh my God. No, dude, come on.
There was a ton of time down left 16 still.
16 points, dude. 16 points.
Two possession game.
Yeah, two possessions with two.
When at that point, I think New England had run 70 plays already.
Yeah, okay, but still.
Atlanta was almost too efficient until they stopped doing things.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they needed to use more time, clearly.
Yeah. Or one more score. Yeah, if they hang 30, sure, they win the game.
Sure, but I mean, they were trying, obviously, right? Like, that turnover is crucial. But 28-3 is not a game you expect to lose. Even 28-12 is not a game you expect to lose. So,
sure.
Come on. Okay, fine. So, what even happens at this point? Like, they score, they get the 2-point conversion. I liked the 2-point conversion, by the way. The Statue of Liberty going going on there. I thought that was nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, now they stop them. Jesus. They get the ball back. They stop them without, right, by the way, the sack followed by the penalty.
Correct.
Like more foot gunning from the Falcons. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, right after Julio Jones makes that ridiculous catch to extend the drive and put them in a field goal range.
That catch was ridiculous. I was sure that he was – and then, no, he was in. He was in.
And then followed me by Matt Ryan doing the one thing he can't do, take a sack.
Takes the big sack.
Yeah.
Then the holding penalty on the next play. That's it. They have to punt.
Yeah. 3.5 minutes left at this point. 2 timeouts.
Yeah.
You got to have 8, but time is no longer a factor.
Yeah, no kidding. Meanwhile, the Falcons are out of timeouts already, aren't they?
Yes, and have played approximately, by my count, 110 offensive snaps.
Oh my God, are you kidding
me? I am exaggerating, but they had played a lot of football at this
300
point.
300 offensive snaps.
Yeah, wow, I'm sure that's what it felt like.
It wasn't their offense that was looking tired. It was their defense. I mean,
they played a lot of football tonight.
Yeah, that defense looked awful at the end. The last drive in regulation and then the drive in overtime, Jesus, they were non-existent. This was like the 2007 Patriots driving, not the 2016 Patriots driving. Okay, great. So I thought the Patriots fucked up at the end. I thought they were not going to win it. They spent they didn't take enough time off the clock at the end. They had the opportunity to like take most of the time off the clock when they were on the goal line.
They took a fair amount off.
No, they snapped the ball with like 20 seconds on the play clock and scored.
Ryan had less than a minute with no timeouts.
Yeah, they could have had him down to 30 seconds or even 10 seconds or something. Fine. I mean, I'm not going to question it now, but at the time I looked at it and I said, that could be too much.
You were concerned. I see.
Okay. I was. Yeah, absolutely. I was. And then the Falcons kind of pissed it away. Like they were dinking and dunking down the middle of the field. They weren't really making serious efforts to get out of bounds. It seemed
like you skipped over the biggest play of the game.
Ah, yeah, I guess so.
In driving to tie it 28-28, Julian Edelman makes a ridiculous fucking catch.
Holy shit, he did.
off a guy's leg as he falls down.
They fucking had to show. They had to not only mention, but then show the fucking Tyree stuff. I was losing my shit. I was texting with a friend. I told her, I was like, they're not going to show us the Tyree thing. They showed us the Tyree thing. Why do they have to show us the fucking Tyree thing? But I guess this is like maybe... this is the second redemption for a ridiculous catch. Last year, the interception kind of redeemed one of the stupid catches, even though two years ago,
Butler on curse. Yeah.
Yeah. But two years ago, the there was this ridiculous sideline catch. One of the Seahawks players made to put them on the goal line at the end.
Yeah, I believe it was Jermaine Kearse.
Yeah, exactly.
Against the eventual hero, Malcolm Butler.
Yes, yes. And then Butler kind of makes up for Asante Samuel's lack of interception two plays or one play before the miracle head catch. And then they fucking have to show us the head catch, but Edelman, Jesus, that catch.
Had to feel good to be on the right side of one of those for a change.
No fucking kidding. I was looking at that like this is like the head catch, and then they fucking showed us the footage, and it made me sad, of course, because I can't look at that without getting emotional. Especially because when they show it, they do the thing where they change the saturation of the picture so it looks old timey, and that just makes it hurt worse. Like it's been so long, hurting in my soul.
Why do they do that?
Well, so you don't think it's live football? I guess I think they want to make it obvious that they're not showing you something that's going on.
They want
me
to feel old, and I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, in fairness, that is 9 years ago. That is 9 Super Bowls ago.
Fair enough. But so we are HD television.
Oh, yeah, sure. But
they would have me believe it was like just after the silent film era.
But I think once that catch, like after that catch, the Atlanta defense was playing like they were shell-shocked. Weren't they? Like they were just done at that point. They were butter. They were already not playing great, but after that, like that catch kind of broke their hearts or something.
I think that's true and fair. But when Ryan turned the ball over, I really thought we were heading to a Patriots comeback.
Jesus Christ.
Because they never stopped fighting, was really hanging with them after that initial barrage. Part of which I think was Atlanta maybe not ever putting them away truly, being a little bit too conservative. But I'm just doing the possession math, so to speak. I knew they needed to steal a possession, and then they got it.
Yeah, I mean, this is just so okay. I'm looking back through my texting history, and like.
I bet that's quite a memory lane already.
No, I'm looking back and like the the at the point where it's like 28-3, I'm like I send like a triple frowny face, followed by, on the upside, I got some good work done. And like 30 minutes later, then we're just bullshitting about, you know, something completely different, like kind of making fun of the halftime show, but whatever. And then the turnover happens, and then it's woo. And from then on, it's all capital letters and emoji. So
that sounds about right.
And mostly just like explosion emoji, because yeah. So, okay, fine. So then overtime, the Patriots win the toss. They get the ball. They're playing against 9.5 men. Like, what is going on?
At this point, the offensive snap count is 207.
Yes, yes.
Atlanta's got nothing left.
There's no gas in the tank. There's no fumes in the tank. There's no tank. It's all gone.
Yeah, their one last gas shot was if Beasley comes down with that contested touchdown in the end zone.
Yep.
They needed a turnover.
He gets one hand on it. If they had gotten that turnover, then maybe. But like then remember the play before that, pass interference on the 1 yard line, was like, oof. I mean,
that was a tight call. Not incorrect. That was a really slightly kind of tight
call. Yeah. That was a slightly ticky tack call. Other players got away with worse.
Yeah.
Actually, other Atlanta players got away with worse, which makes me wonder whether maybe there was a little bit of like giving them the call because they were complaining about a previous call, right? Which always happens. But you know, playoff refereeing, usually I would have bet against that one getting called. It was a little ticky tack. That said, I mean, Bennett should have caught it anyway. That should have been the game. Like when that ball came down and like hit Bennett in the chest, I was like jumping to my feet already. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to catch it. I mean, he's usually reasonably shorthanded, but okay. But then at that point, it's like four plays to win the game. Like Atlanta's in a bad spot. So yeah, that last gasp of almost getting getting one hand on the interception. Well, okay, fine.
Yeah,
but
that was close to like turning it around, honestly.
Yeah, it was.
Well, actually, no. Julio Jones, holy shit, catch was, but
yes, but that remember that was before the. Oh no, you're right. That was after the. That was like the last real gasp from the Atlanta offense.
I mean, and that's the really sad thing for you know the Falcons fans. I mean, that there were so many chances to still save off that comeback and put it away, and they just didn't seize any of the opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, they got very conservative in the way that they were playing.
Yeah.
And the way that they were calling the game, and they got, I don't know how, I mean, look, the defense was playing with a lot of pad. It didn't seem like they really needed to tire themselves out quite so much, but I mean, the Patriots did manage to run a lot of snaps. So
yeah, Atlanta just fundamentally did not possess the ball enough to protect a lead of that size. They either needed one more score, at least to hang on to the ball more than they did. Yeah. They achieved neither of those things.
Yeah. You have failed. Yeah, unfortunately for them.
But, and it ended up being a pretty great game after it looked like it was going to be a shit fest.
Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, it started out quite lopsided, and then, like, really the end was also lopsided. The only reason that it wasn't a total shit show is because, it went from, it was such a big comeback that it didn't feel as lopsided as it was. But really the last quarter and a half plus overtime of the game was like 25 unanswered points, 31 unanswered points really mm-hmm. by the Patriots. I mean, that's like, Jesus, that doesn't feel good.
No.
It feels great for me, but it doesn't feel good as an Atlanta fan. So I guess, I mean, is there any question at this point that Brady is the greatest of all time? I mean, I know I don't want to say it because, like, I know I sound like
standard Southie asshole. Question. But you know, it's just they've changed the rules so much. It's just hard to tell.
That's fair.
You know, like, I mean, this is a stat I threw out earlier on the podcast this year. I think Ryan Tannehill has more 4,000 yard seasons than Joe Montana or John Elway.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are a couple.
Is anyone saying Ryan Tannehill is better than Joe Montana or Joe Montana? No, of course not. You know.
Then again, winning. I mean, there is some sense in which winning the championship is. I mean, it's not quite immune to rules changes, but the rules changes do help everyone the same. So, or not, well, no, obviously you have to be a good quarterback to take advantage of the fact that they're
right.
Good quarterback.
You still have to be good. Like he's in the conversation now. There's no question.
But like somehow the rules changes haven't made it easier for any particular team to win. Certainly it's made it easier for teams with white quarterbacks to win, given the way that the rules are enforced. but it hasn't.
Yeah, look, hang on. I'm going to pull one out for Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Jesus. And his impending brain damage.
No shit. But like, you know, modulo some sort of unfairness about the distribution of calls. Look, maybe that's it. Maybe that's enough, right? Like maybe Joe Montana just didn't get as favorable calls as Tom Brady does because, you know, the stakes weren't the same or something. I would be surprised if that were true. So it's not clear to me that somehow it's substantially easier for Tom Brady to win a given Super Bowl than it is for Joe Montana to. So yeah, I'm not going to say, well, he has 10,000 more yards, therefore he's better, but five championships.
Well, all I was trying to throw in there was titles are in an inexact measure of this.
Sure,
they should totally count towards it, but just the number of rings by itself is not enough for me. I mean, again, he's up there, right? I mean, he's on that he's cemented in that short list.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: what would have been a better Super Bowl to watch? I mean, could we have expected anything better? Like this is basically as exciting as it could have been. No.
I still think it's a shame that Aaron Rodgers has not played Bill Belichick for all the marbles yet.
That's true.
And I hope that happens at some point here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, we shall see.
But
we shall see.
For example, there's no way Dallas, for example, does any better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Dallas did have a hell of a running game, so maybe they would have done a little
better. Yeah, but they were a one-trick pony. Belichick would have eaten their lunch.
That's true. I mean, the Falcons on offense were really well positioned to play well against the Belichick style defense, where what you do is just take away the thing that they're good at.
There are good solid players on that defense, but no one spectacular. And they went out there and they had like one of the best efforts against one of the best offenses of all time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, is Brady the best quarterback ever? I don't know. Is Belichick the best coach ever? Yeah, and I don't think number two is even close.
Yeah,
I mean that's one legacy that was if it wasn't tied up before tonight, it is now.
Fair enough. So we're drawing to the end of my window here. So any parting thoughts from the other side? I mean, obviously I'm ready to like go outside and yell woo, but
I think we're good. I just real quick before we close this quick one down. Where do they go from here? How long does Brady got, you think?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's going to play another year for sure, right? But like, I don't know. He still looks like he's good. I mean, his arm has not turned into the sort of late Peyton Manning noodle yet.
No, he's still super accurate, and most of the strength is there, if not all of it, because frankly, that was never a big part of his game.
Yeah. So look, I mean, I think they'll be competitive for another couple of years, and then maybe he'll shut it down a little after 40. But like, you know, it's hard to imagine that he's going to.
Does Belichick retire, or do they pry this team out of his cold, dead fingers?
I don't think he leaves till Brady does. That would be my bet.
Do you think he stays past Brady? That's what I'm essentially asking.
I don't know. You know, he might. It might bother him that people say, "Wow, he's only good because he's got Brady." I don't know. I don't know how much of an ego he has. I guess he must have some. But if he's got an ego, that's the way
to.
That's the. You know.
Yeah, he likes to excel. That's fine.
Sure, but the question is whether it really gets to him when people say something like, "Yeah, he's only good because of Brady. Look at his time in Cleveland." Maybe he would be inclined to stick around with, you know, Garoppolo or whoever.
Yeah, but didn't he just put a stake in that vampire when he won with Jacoby Brissett this year?
Yeah, two games. I don't know, three games.
Yeah,
I mean, you could have said the same thing about Matt Cassel in 2008, but
I think that needs to be said more often, frankly.
I agree.
11-5 with that clown.
I mean, look, the Jets barely edged them out of the playoffs that year, and the Jets were They were okay that year. I guess, oh, that was the year they had Favre, right? So, anyway, I don't know. Oh, wait.
Well, it was the Sanchez-Ryan era that was a problem.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah. One more thing that we failed to talk about was the amazing, like, boo to cheer transition as Goodell handed over the microphone.
so proud of Boston. Oh, I didn't watch the Patriots, man, but fuck
Goodell
that
so much. Oh my god, great. What an asshole. Yeah, that was great. I it's not as maybe beautiful. Not quite as good, not as beautiful as some of the, like, when the, in the past years, the hockey commissioner has presented the Stanley Cup to lusty boos, and maybe this wasn't quite that strong, but damn, I mean,
I appreciate it. Kraft's statement too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, it was just like gracious enough that it wasn't gracious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He also sounded like he was a little drunk. Well, I mean, he had a little.
He sounded Kraft, a little old because he is old.
Yeah, well, Kraft. It's true. Kraft is just like has sort of senility in his voice, but yeah. Yeah, man. Fuck Goodell. Seriously. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Well, congrats, man. I'm glad someone's happy.
Look, I mean, we can all be happy about Goodell having to eat crow at least. But yes, thank you for your congratulations. Like I said, I worked hard for this victory. I never gave up. I never gave in. I kept watching even when it was 28-3. You know, I just believed, and that's what you got to do. You just got to believe. anyway, dude, until next time.
Riyad Wabi of Stanford, California. Thanks for being here on such short notice, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me and let me ramble about this crazy shit that we just witnessed.
It was my pleasure. I have been Cyrus Mordozovi of Kirkland, Washington. Once again, you can follow me at riseagainproductions.tumblr.com. You have been listening to Full of Sun and Fury podcast, available at fullofsunandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes and or SoundCloud. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2017.
Booyah!